TV Corner.
Hey guys, welcome to another Film Core TV Corner Game of Thrones podcast. Here with me, I have Greg and Alex.
Yo.
Hello.
Hi. And we're going to be talking about The Long Night, or honestly, The Pretty Short Night, if you think about that we only got one episode for this battle. But that's cool. So yeah, I mean, basically, this is the penultimate battle that we've all been waiting for between humans and medieval zombies, the White Walkers. Yeah. First thoughts. Alex, this is, you don't actually watch this show, so you're in here kind of giving us sort of fresh eyes into this whole thing. What did you think?
That's right, yes. I'm kind of like a layman to this stuff. Like I know I've seen like maybe 10 to 15 episodes, but I know basically what's happened up to this point. And I watched like the first episode of this season, for instance, but then I didn't really care enough to watch the second episode. But then I came back around to this episode. So yeah, so basically watching this episode, kind of knowing some setup, but having a friend with me to sort of annotate like the characters that I'm supposed to care about but don't actually know, like, helped a lot. So
wow, that's so a I friend. Felt like I that's a friend right there, because yeah. That would not be me.
He only like shushed me a couple of times too. He was basically happy to answer most of my questions, but I thought it was much better than the first episode of the season, which was like incredibly boring. So boring that I decided not to watch the second episode.
Well, they really had to lay the stage for the rest of this, you know, season.
Yeah, but I think
they said, but like, didn't they have seven seasons to like set the stage? Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
I mean, but you did it. You kind of did it the opposite, because you should have just skipped episode one and then watched two, which leads right into this, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. I guess too, like, they talk about their strategy, right?
But they talk about strategy, but like more importantly, there's like a real calm, and it really takes its time to just hang out with the characters one more time, to the point that, you know, everyone kind of thought that more people were going to die, that it was going to be a more final episode,
right?
With a lot of the characters, and very very surprisingly. And I would say a sort of bad kind of surprise. They didn't kill a lot of people, and for me it was a huge kind of letdown.
Before we dive right into the battle, let's quickly go over their game plan. One, face all the whites head on. Two, lure the Night King into the God's Wood to attack Bran, and then thus trapping him, and hopefully ending the battle that way. And for the most part, it basically worked, except they had to sort of endure a melee.
Nothing worked about it.
I mean, it worked in the long run, but really they didn't plan for, like, you know, an extreme onslaught that lasted, you know. The Night King showed up for the last 5 seconds of the entire battle.
But the thing is, like, what's-her-face? Emilia Clarke had, like, those two dragons with Jon Snow standing by waiting for the Night King to show. But they were pretty effective once they got there. Well,
were they?
Yeah, they were just mowing through. Yeah, they were just, like, mowing through. Yeah,
for a while. I mean, like, it was her tactics, like, that screwed up, because she just sort of sat there, like, for a while, and then the zombies, like, boarded the dragon, and that kind of threw things off course. But until then, they were doing a pretty good job. Two-on-one, dragons versus zombie dragon. Like, why not have them right away? They were, like, it was, like, a tactic to wait, but, like... But then she banned the tactic anyway, because then as soon as the Dothraki get mowed down in that cool shot where all the lit torches go out, you know, then she's like, I'm abandoning the plan, I'm going to go bust out the dragons. And it's like, well, you know, maybe you should have just had them out there at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, I think initially they were sort of like saving them as sort of like, you know, not a plan B, but just like a later option. Honestly, I just...
I think the...
Makes no sense, though.
It makes no sense. And it makes no sense because the whole episode is, it's kind of like, it's purely spectacle, and it's trying to just wrap up something that has been in the making now for a couple seasons that I don't think the showrunners have ever wanted to really deal with. So, like, so here they are, and they have to do this thing, and there's, like, a lot of, like, for me, like, what's so frustrating about it is, like, as you're watching it, it's really exciting. And it's like impeccably done, and Miguel Sapochnik is like a, you know, A-list director for these kind of things, and
it's,
you know,
pretty well done.
Well, I mean, look, you can take issue with like the whether it's clear what's happening, right? There's a lot of like it's very messy at times.
It's pretty rough, yeah.
But to me, that's the like he's doing a lot with very little, you know what I mean, afforded to him. Because the sort of the purpose of the battle is the problem. And so when you, and like having a weak purpose for it, creates like a lot of boneheaded decision making. Like, all right, well, we're gonna make all these like brilliant military minds have a really shitty plan just so that we can get this whole thing, get to the end where we have this clean wrap up at the end. It's putting plot above character, I think, pretty clearly.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and if we want to jump ahead, one of the biggest things they did when they put up this whole fan service above the actual plot or what makes sense is that they've really been building up this entire time that Jon Snow is sort of the antithesis to the Night King. And we don't get that payoff. Yeah, it's cool that Arya is the one who gets to kill the Night King, but ultimately they admit to this in the After the Episode piece that they decided this, that Arya was going to be the one in season 5. Well, Melisandre doesn't make the comment about the blue eyes thing until she does in season 3. So that means they really had no idea that it was going to be Arya, like, at that point. They managed to tie it up and make it look like it was on purpose. But realistically, they're just like, what would surprise everyone if we just let Arya do it? Which, I mean, she's cool, but come on.
I thought it was kind of fun. But again, I don't know a lot about the Jon Snow setup. But I heard that he faced the Night King before. But I thought the way that she did it was cool. Like, she sort of sneaks in, jumps at him from on high. He grabs her. She drops the knife and then catches it with the other hand and bashes him. Like, that was pretty cool. You know, there was, like, strategy to it, and she like used the fact that she's sort of small and quiet as like part of her attack. So I don't know, it was
enough of it fits together that I think most people are probably really happy with it.
I thought it was fine, as a whole.
I'm just pretty annoyed with this whole, so Alex, you're not privy to this, but the Azor Ahai prophecy, the prince who was promised, and technically it can be a prince or princess, and everyone's trying to really lean into this whole that Arya could be that person, but I just feel like we're just picking anyone at this point could be the prince that was promised. You know, fuck it, Grey Worm could be the prince that was promised. I just feel like this was, I don't mean to complain, I loved the episode, I thought it was great. I just see cheap tricks like this, and I'm just like, come on, guys.
My question, Alex, to you then, as someone who's like just kind of a la carte watching this, like, is it like, do you find yourself more interested in the show or less so from an episode like last night when we were watching it? Like, it's kind of incredible that this is television. Like our buddy was like, man, like we went from Steve Urkel to this, like on television, you know. that's actually like a pretty fair point.
I actually really liked it a lot more than I was expecting to. It definitely kept my interest. I thought it was like on a movie grading scale out of 4 stars, I would say somewhere between like 2.5 and 3 stars for me for this episode. Like, it was ultimately pretty well done, despite my issues with the fact that you couldn't see what was happening during a lot of the stuff with the dragons. I mean, I know that's part of the point is to immerse you in the battle, but that kind of annoyed me. But regardless, besides that, I thought it was still pretty well done. The stuff with Melisandre, like a character that I really had never seen, but my friend had told me that she was the one that resurrected Jon Snow or whatever, and then she's kind of been throughout the episode. Like, that's an intriguing character. So I was on board with that. And, like, the fact that she's this immortal witch and she's kind of been on the sidelines with this human versus White Walkers thing for a while. And so her involvement was kind of cool. Her death at the end was pretty cool. Like, so all that stuff was cool. The White Walkers themselves were, like, surprisingly effective. Like, I thought the dragons also were, like, really well done. I was thinking about it, in terms of like the scale of a movie versus a TV show. Like, it really had a cinematic impact that, speaking about the Avengers recently before this call started, I don't think the Avengers has. Like, this like, there's like a real emotional weight to the characters and stuff. Like, even watching an episode where I need some context for it, like, I thought they did a good job of balancing the action with making you care about what happens. Like, when the little noble woman,
Lyanna Mormont.
Yeah, the kid has, like, that awesome death with the giant. I thought that was pretty cool. Stuff like that. Like, even not being an expert on the show, like, those moments were still done effectively, and I still cared about what happened to most of the characters, even though I didn't know them super well. Again, I'm a Philistine. I haven't seen every episode with the two of them and their weird interactions, so I don't know. But I thought generally overall it was pretty engaging, and I definitely am on board for the rest of the season now.
Okay.
Oh, you are? So you're gonna stick with it?
Yeah. I gotta see what happens with this Cersei thing versus her brothers and the aunt relationship with Jon Snow. who takes the throne, what's going to happen with Sansa and Peter Dinklage. Like, there's a lot of intrigue for me, even as like a kind of out of touch person. Like, I'm on board. Although it does seem like this was a bit, like this could have been a 2-episode thing.
And yeah.
Like after all the buildup, it feels a little bit brief, even though it is like 80 minutes long.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even the resolution of sort of like Bran, who was really also built up to be a big part of like this entire thing, you know, him being the next three-eyed raven or the current three-eyed raven, and him really not playing any sort of significant role in this battle was kind of strange. And I feel like we had wrapped up quickly, but I'm still left here like, wait, is that it? You know, I don't know if I feel completely like satisfied. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah, no, if you're just watching the one episode, it kind of doesn't matter. But, yeah, and it doesn't matter because if you're just looking at one season, kind of everything is just leveled, right?
Like, yeah.
You just meet a couple characters, whatever. But where I've been with this, it was sort of like that. I think for me, the show was kind of over last season. It was this moment when the whole thing kind of flipped into being more about the magical element of it. And it set up this very like aggressively set up this idea like that the stakes were not to focus on the sort of political intrigue element of the show and to go into the fantastical, the sort of the existential, you know. And so it's like, man, you know, it just seems like a real misfire to not go backwards, like to think that it within the world of the show, these people are going to go from something like this to then just going back to business as usual feels cheap, and it feels improbable that these people would just go on
squabbling.
Because yeah. For one thing, and I don't know if this is if you know this about the show, but basically the sort of the introduction of the magical element is comes pretty slow, and it's treated as a sort of thing that the sort of superstition or these sort of old wives tales that nobody believes in. So it's, you know, you think of it as like the world of the show of like what most of these people are used to is like a very secular space, right? It's very like real life medieval, you know, in spite of being in this sort of fantastical world, right? But they act as if magic does not exist. Dragons are sort of like a real animal that exists, you know, but nothing is sort of in the scope of like beyond reality. So like part of the plot is people like Jon Snow convincing everyone else that this is an actual threat. And they spend a lot of time doing that.
Yeah.
And trying to convince everybody that if humanity doesn't bind together, that they're going to all face extinction.
And I mean, so clearly this is a metaphor for climate change.
I mean, yeah. even to that note, if it is with that scope, I feel like it would have been so much more satisfying if they had actually fought Cersei first and then actually brought all of the Seven Kingdoms to fight the North, not just to fight the White Walkers, not just the Northern half.
Well, so is
the Southern half even going to believe what happened up there?
Well,
at this point?
And that's what it seemed like was going to happen, right? For a couple of seasons. If you're either super into the magic element, or if you're super into like the political intrigue, they've hedged now to a point that like neither is very fulfilling.
Yeah, I mean, on that note, do we feel like there's going to be another big battle at this point? With Cersei at all.
Didn't they tease that in the teaser at the end of the episode? They said, we had the big battle, we won, and now it's time for the last battle.
Yeah, but I'm guessing, right, the question is, like, do they actually play it out that way, or...
I mean, do they even have the men to fight a battle? That's what I'm saying. Like, who is even left?
No, that's not... I don't know. I mean...
Like...
They can make that up, like, at this... Right? Like, it doesn't...
If they told me more than 30 people survived that, I'm calling bullshit.
Well, the whole thing. Yeah.
We have the North and the South. Are there people on the East and the West? Like, what about them? You know.
Yeah, yeah, they all fall into certain ranks, basically.
I mean, we have a lot of people got wiped in this. I mean, yeah, sure, Dothraki and Unsullied fodder, sure, who aren't exactly like
green
citizens.
Green shirts. Star Trek. Was that what they were? The green shirts.
Red shirts.
Star Trek red shirts.
Yeah, red shirts. But I mean, we definitely lost like all the Knights of the Vale are gone. You know, all the other Northern houses are gone. That's a huge chunk of the population is now wiped.
But you're still like treating it as if they give a fuck.
I know, but I just...
And I just, I like, know. I mean, I can't even... The seams are so cleared, you know what I mean, now? That to even pretend like they are abiding by their own rules of this world, it really doesn't, you know... They could very quickly, with a line of dialogue, be like, oh, we bought an army in the, you know... That's in the true. East, this, you know what I mean? Like, it, they're really just, they're sprinting towards the finish line, and I think they just want to get through it.
They right? really are. They, I mean, if anything, putting this entire battle into one episode really sort of says we are trying to just wrap this
up. Yeah. Like, yeah. To not dig into the mythos of all this, to just sort of, I mean, what a, like, a bait and switch.
Yeah. Yeah, literally.
You know, so it's just like, it's this funny thing where, like, the episode, like, in a vacuum, you know, is a lot of fun and works in a lot of ways. But then as the end all of eight seasons, it, you know, it's a weird move. You know, like, it's already been a different show for quite a bit.
Yeah.
But now it's just, I mean, it's kind of off the rails.
I mean, so with that being said... what are your predictions going forward as far who sits on the throne?
I have no idea, just because it's so,
arbitrary.
It's so arbitrary now. Yeah. Like, nothing really feels like it has a, it's just trying to get to a certain ending, which I'm guessing is a more or less a happier ending. You know, I don't think any of these, like, little squabbles are actually going to, you know, last. I think they just want to get, I think just want to tie a nice ribbon on it. And, you know, I was thinking a lot about, like, what could have been done, right, with the Night's King and this whole element of it. And they were totally open. They could have completely made it some sort of, you know, maybe like, not make him such a strict villain, but make him some sort of, I'm thinking of, like, Dr. Manhattan in The Watchmen. You guys are, you know,
yeah,
he's sort of like a force of balance that is required for this world. You know what I mean? And I always like, I mean, I guess in the way, like, to tie to, you know, the Avengers, which I would hate, you know, I'm not part of that. I'm not a fan in any sense, but
okay, from we what get I, it. You don't like to have
yeah,
fun.
Yeah. I hate fun, but from what I understand of the plot, the main villain is this sort of, it's like, why he's interesting is he's just sort of a
Thanos,
force of,
yeah. His idea is sort of, you know, wiping out half the universe to sort of balance things because he saw so much suffering in it.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that's super disappointing about the Night King too. And I feel like with his ultimate, you know, his ending is just that he is like this sort of like foil evil. And it's really unfortunate that in a story so rich with like different characters who get such beautiful arcs that we don't get to see any sort of reasoning for his actions.
Yeah. He's very simple.
Yeah, exactly. And very it's simple. You just, this whole time we allude to that there's being some sort of like greater reasoning that we never get to know about. Or, I mean, even the tossed in thing about him wanting to just take over and get rid of the history of man. I mean, that still doesn't feel like, but you know, you're just like, why? Like, he was once a man himself. So what was this turn about, you know?
Alex, so when you're like watching that, is your bar just sort of lower as you're watching it and you're just sort of approaching it as spectacle?
The episodes that I have seen, like, they always like cut away to the White Walkers. They're always kind of walking towards them and it's taken like 10 years or whatever. So I don't know. I did figure there must have been more of a backstory with that guy, but I just, he just looked badass and, he really doesn't do a whole lot in that episode aside from like withstand Dragonfire, I guess. And then he has the cool shot where he raises all of the dead, like on both sides and, resurrects them to fight Jon Snow. And then somehow they all walk past Jon Snow.
Yeah, he's got some like he's got some personality to him, right? And it's such a weird move.
I didn't appreciate it. Honestly.
Well, because they don't, because you know, it's like it's Sans motivation, right?
If you're gonna make a character pure evil, then I don't need any smirks. Okay, I don't need any winks to the camera. I just need him to handle his business and be unmoved by any of this, you know. And that sort of, the more personality they gave him, the less I liked it.
Well, it's only because they didn't deliver on anything.
Yeah.
Right? Like, had they... I thought he was going to speak at the end. I thought he was going to say something.
That would have been crazy if he had
said
something.
Nobody wanted
something.
Him to talk, too.
I wanted him to talk. I thought he was going to say something that suggested that he was going to bring this sort of balance to their world or their... You know what I mean? Something to give him some purpose beyond just the very little that we know. Yeah, and it's like they couldn't make a decision one way or the other. They kept.
Well, I think they're just also like you, a lot of we mentioned, like you touched on earlier, just like sort of have their hands tied with the whole books not being out. So also maybe they're just like, we have to be sort of ambiguous as possible while still ending it, which is a hard job to do.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't have something worked out with Martin and they're going kind of blind, I guess he's come out on record saying that he was planning something similar.
He said he was planning an ending that the show couldn't do.
Oh, okay.
So whether that be budgetary or the fact they've killed off some characters now wouldn't make sense,
yeah,
or that there's new lands, and that's a whole separate discussion about things that the show hasn't touched on, that would make that sort of difficult to make, you know, mm-hmm, to wrap up cleanly. But regardless, I feel like quality and story for a little bit of fan service and for the sake of just, you know.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's like, it's very obvious that that's yeah, the case.
Yeah. Know?
It's like not even a.
Yeah.
It can still be entertaining and people can still like it, but being critical, or we're being this critical because of just sort of the high bar that the show has had,
yeah, definitely.
Up to this point.
I mean, yeah, if this was
the last,
you know,
first 5 or 6 years, you know,
if this was like Broad City, we would not be saying these things, you know. If this was, I mean, there's other shows I think that aren't even, that are still pretty acclaimed, like, I mean, Westworld, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, we're coming near the end of this thing. They're gonna do this prequel show. Alex, you think you're gonna watch the next series that comes out if you like these last couple episodes?
Like, if it's a big talking point the way Game of Thrones is, I will check in and out. I do feel like I enjoyed this episode more than you guys did because I came at it with sort of fresh eyes, but it sounds like based on all the buildup, it was severely disappointing for you. For me, I was placated, and I enjoyed it. It wasn't earth-shattering, but it was well done and engaging. Especially all the stuff with Arya. That was all. That was the highlight of the episode for me.
For the record, I would not say severely. I was disappointed by moments, but overall, I thought it was a spectacle.
The bar has already kind of been lowered, and I think we're just. At this point, it's just sort of like curiosity for me is to figure out, like, just to see like how they pull this out on like a story, you know, on this, from a story perspective, just from like a writing perspective.
It's like we're watching Back to the Future 3, okay, even though we know we know it's not as good as 2,
yeah,
and one was still pretty good, you know. But
you
we
like
get
two
it
more?
To the end.
You like 2 more?
2 is when they go to the future, right?
Yeah.
I like 2 more.
Oh, okay. Yeah. 2 is a weird one.
I love 2. I love 1 as well. I would pick 1 over 2, but they're both great.
Yeah.
And then it's true. 3 is a drop-off, but it's also fun for what it is. So,
yeah,
okay,
that's literally where we are in this show. Like, we're in the Back to the Future 3 of Game of Thrones, and I'm along for the ride. I just, you know, hope that everyone gets the send-off they deserve and that we get sort of a well-composed conclusion.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
I'm excited and intrigued. I hope, obviously, Cersei's the main bad guy right now, so I guess we hope that she gets an interesting death and that not too many of the good characters die.
I'm pretty sure, like, anyone who survived to this point.
We're going to lose either Jon or Dany, but other than that, I think we're good to go.
Oh, wow, really? You think so?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, they live to the end.
Nah.
It's a happy ending.
Nah.
Well, they're copulating and they're very related, so I think it'd be fine if one of them bites it.
It's a happy ending. She's totally pregnant. Like,
with their incest baby.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, well, guys, thank you so much for hopping on this week's Game of Thrones podcast with me. And Greg, I'll see you next week. And Alex, I'll see you around.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Thanks.